Glad you're here. Wonderful night. Praise the Lord. Got a good crowd of folks and got a bunch of friends here in the building and some wonderful preachers, some wonderful fellowship. Glad to hear about the weekend services and came through the door hearing about the services this morning right here in the church and pulled in a while ago and cars already parked out here in the parking lot, so I figured this was the right place. Of course, there were cars parked up at Rose's, too, out there in their parking lot. So you can't always go with the size of the crowd in the parking lot. Sometimes you got to step inside the store and see. During our May Fellowship meeting, we had a lot of visitors come in, and I was really, you know, trying to impress them with our little town. And first night, power went out through one whole section of town, and a lot of the folks that was staying at the Super 8 Motel, they took them to their rooms with candles. It was really a moment there of pride. But it was still about 11:30, 12, 1 o'clock when I got away from the building and was driving down Porter and went by and noticed how everything was dark. And you know, it's 24-hour McDonald's, and there wasn't one single solitary car anywhere in the parking lot. I mean, now that just caught me off guard because it's 24 hours. And normally if there's at least one there every once in a while, mine. But there was nobody in that parking lot. Nobody getting coffee, nobody getting sweet tea, nobody. There's nobody getting. But McDonald's was as dark as the Super 8 Motel was. Just down the ways a little bit. And I guess folks figured it out that if there ain't no power there, ain't no need pulling in. I guess they figured that out pretty quick there. If there ain't nothing cooking. Well, if there ain't nothing going on, if there's nothing, if there ain't even a little bit of grease smoke someplace in the house, we just well go home and have Vienna sausages. Open a little can of sardines and make the cats wish that they could come in and eat with you. They just went, nothing going on. And you know, I'm telling you, the very next morning in our morning service, Brother Lloyd Cheek got up there in that pulpit and explained to me exactly what happened in that whole blackout down that whole part of the strip there. He explained it. He explained to me until I couldn't hardly get my mind on any of the rest of the services after that guy got through preaching in that morning service. That sometimes we have so lowered our expectation of what we want God to do for us that we are very, very content to get by with very, very little anymore. I wish you could have heard the message. We got it on CD. We're selling them for $400 a CD. Let me know after church, and I'll see about getting your dry hide one of those. But I'm telling you, it was amazing and it was wonderful. It was glorious just to think about. Now, okay. But brother, sister, I'm telling you, I am sold on the moving of the Spirit of God, and was before I even cared a thing about preaching. I was moved and sold on by the Spirit of God even before I knew a thing about prophecy. And a thing about Greek words, before I learned a thing about any of the study habits, I was hung up on the baptism of the Holy Ghost before I even knew who Dake was, or Schofield was, or some of the rest of those great guys that should have been Pentecost. I tell you, I was hung up. I was hung up on the move of the power as the Spirit of God. And you know what's going on right over here in this corner? And I don't know exactly. I just got here. Just like some of you all. They were talking about ribs today. Ribs didn't do a thing for me. Not one thing this morning did they do for me. Of course, I wasn't here. I just got here in the middle of the afternoon. But if there's any of them left, I will cast my vote before the sun comes up in the morning. But I'm telling you, I come in here recognizing. Recognizing. Woo, recognize. Man, I remember times in that little old church of Karnak when Brother McClellan would get up there and somebody would come down and get in that altar. I mean, they'd beat the far out of you. I mean, you would get saved in self-defense. You'd get the baptism of the Holy Ghost to keep from having to have your teeth surgically removed. You would throw your hands up in the air the minute somebody suggested you start praising God, or they're going to beat every bit of air out of your lungs that you possibly had. I mean, I remember stuff like that. And the amazing thing about that was when they got up from the altar, they had something about them that turned on the light. I mean, the lights come back on, and somebody jumped up and said, I believe I'll fire the grill up again. Throw a couple of hamburgers on. We may have somebody else come by that wants the old fat. I tell you, I'm sold on this. I am, and I will read you a quick verse, and then we will do something else. Jeremiah chapter 50. I'll just read you this, Jeremiah chapter 50. And now I'm going to tell you, I was glad to see Brother Sister Horton, and glad all of you, Brother Sister Blue, wonderful friends, Brother Teague, Brother Don Ingram, just folks all over the place. Of course, Brother Sister Cheek was here again with us tonight, and just love them, and good to see Brother Sister Prescott, and just everybody. I mean, I'm glad to see Brother Barnett, just glad to see Brother Ronnie, glad they're here, and glad that I'm here, and just I want to read this one verse to you. It's Jeremiah chapter 50, and I was coming here today. I seemed like I've been coming over here for several days, but since last year, in fact, thinking about coming. But I was coming on in here today, and up in Abingdon, I think it's Abingdon. I could be wrong. I went through a lot of towns, seemed like, between here and West Plains. But I think it was Abingdon. I was coming through town, and there was a sign, a marquee there on a church that grabbed my attention. I think it's Abingdon. It may not have been, but there's a sign there. If it is Abingdon and they don't take it down because they heard me talking about it, it'll be there tomorrow. If you're up in that direction, you can look at it. But there's a sign there on one of the churches that said, Jesus. And I'm gonna get as close as I can, considering I was going as fast as I was when I went by it. But the sign said, Jesus came into the world, or Jesus came to put the church in the world. And the sign says, Satan came to put the world in the church. Welcome. That's what's on the sign. Jesus came to put the church in the world. Satan came to put the world in the church. Welcome. Okay? I know, probably a deacon done it, but I'm telling you, still, it's just the way that you say things sometimes that just comes out a little. Jeremiah chapter 50. Verse 5, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces covered in Kleenex tissue, bawling their eyes out, beat, defeated, wore out, shot out, give out, saying, come, let's go to the local ball field and just make us a covenant with this world, because we're not doing too good the way that it is. Now, that is what Dake said. No, it's not. That is my rendition of one of Brother Randy Webb's other Bibles that he reads out of sometimes. This is what the Bible said. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come, Let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Oh, boy. Oh, the excitement in here right now is just about to knock me off my feet. Memorial Day. Yeah, boy. It was World War II. There was one, and it was World War II. And it was a little seaport town in northern France. It was on the border, sort of, with Belgium. And World War II, early stages of it. And it was a mighty, mighty place of conflict. There was a lot of courage in this little seaport town, and there was a lot of heroics, and there was a lot of overwhelming odds. It was the city of Dunkirk, if you'll think back in your mind into World War II history. And at the city of Dunkirk, the Belgium army had already surrendered to the Germans. A little bit farther north, and that left the Allied forces surrounded on three sides at Dunkirk. They were surrounded on the left and the right and forward by German regiments, and with the English Channel right there behind them, they were seeing German boats coming up the channel. I mean, 350,000 American and British troops was backed up on the beaches of Dunkirk. They dug in. They went to fighting for all of their lives. They went to shooting. With enemy on three sides and trying to come in around behind. It looked like, I'm telling you, it looked like World War II was going to be a sad day for the Allies. In fact, it looked like that the whole war was going to be won right there on the beaches of... Did I tell you that I was going to talk to you a minute tonight about the church in the dunes? The church in the dunes. Hang on. They were surrounded here on all three sides and all this, and just about time that it looked like that you should take the hamburgers off the grill and go ahead and turn out the lights, because everything was going in a bad direction fast. Coming from the British side came a flotilla of warships, battleships, cruisers, personal watercraft, fishing boats, little barges, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, until they got to counting them in the thousands of vessels that was coming from the English shore on the way to Dunkirk. And there on the shores of Dunkirk, 350,000 troops was evacuated and sent back across the channel, where they regrouped again and finally come back around and give us a reason today to be enjoying a Memorial Day because of the great battles that was won. But this is what I wanted to tell you. That little word Dunkirk, it had a little extra meaning to it, and I didn't know it till I looked at it and I read this story. In fact, the city of Dunkirk is noted as the church among the dunes. And I just thought it was kind of ironic that sometimes, we send the death knells of the church out. The pastors are all dead, and the song service ain't got any power, and we shouldn't even be taking an offering if we ain't got any more power than that. I mean, we have 1,000 enemies on all three sides backing the church up against the water. But I got some of the greatest news you're going to hear all night. Evacuation's coming. You hear me? Evacuation's coming. And I refuse. I absolutely refuse. A little boy came into the church one day. I read this. A little boy came into church one day, and his dad said, "Come over here, son. I want to show you a little plaque of all the people that's died here in our little church." And the little boy said, "What service? AM or PM?" Don't sit there and look at me like that. Just reach over and give somebody life support if it looks like they're nodding off. I'm telling you, we are backed up. We are backed up. Our backs are against the water, and the enemy is on all three sides. And this is our two choices. You can lay your guns down and look at 1,000 reasons to join the Germans, or you can stand up and say, I'm going to fight until they come and rescue me off of this thing. Well, I'm going to stick in here with this until they, and I'm telling you something. I have not given my life to independent holiness and the power of the Holy Ghost to come down to 2014 and say, I guess I was wrong. I'm going to throw in the towel. I have no intentions of throwing in the towel. I have intentions of reloading, picking the gun up, and I'm going to shoot again. And the reason why, we've still got folks. We've still got folks, even though we are the church in the dunes, we've still got folks that are getting help. And as long as folks is getting help, I'm going to stay with this army. As long as there is a power of God, I'm going to stay with this army. Now listen, you can swell up and go Baptist. You can swell up and go Methodist. Or you can swell up and go to the ball game. But brother, sister, that ain't how wars are won. Wars are won by people who don't surrender. People who get up and say, by the power and the grace of God, it looks bad, and I'm going to make it better. I'm going to do everything I can to make it better. Listen. Listen. I'm telling you. Who would have thought in the book of Jeremiah, who would have thought that there was any hope for Israel? I'm telling you, Jeremiah was getting to a place where he didn't even want to preach anymore. He's getting to a place where he was going to find himself in a pit, up to mud, up to his ever-loving cheeks. But what sane person would have given them any kind of knowledge of being successful? And yet Jeremiah looked at him and said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep our faces thitherward. If everybody else in the church lines up at the back and stands in front of the water fountain, we're going to keep our faces thitherward. If everybody in the world starts singing contemporary music and there's just a few of us left singing the old songs of Zion, we're going to keep our faces thitherward. Even if my pew mate right here beside me thinks of 1,000 reasons why you ought to vote out the pastor. I'm telling you something. We're in a rough place. We're in a tight place. And some of us ain't making it any better. You need to reload your gun. You need to pick it back up and put everything you got in the battle. These calisthenics just wear me out. What are you talking about? The push-ups? The running? No. Talking about them services where the pastor will say, let's stand. Now you can be seated. Let's stand. Let's raise your hand. Let's give the Lord a praise. Let's give the Lord. Them calisthenics is wearing me out. I tell you what's wearing me out is how close we're letting the Germans get to us in every service, when we're the folks that's going to come out the winners when this thing is over. I tell you what bothers me. It bothers me to think that the devil can feel welcome in our churches. Not me, brother. I'm a soldier. Now, I'm telling you, when Jeremiah saw that situation look like survival was going to be slim, Lloyd Cheek said, in so many words, he said there was a day that the church was energized to the point where they didn't think they'd had church unless 3,000 had been added to the place. Don't everybody get too quiet. Look out. I'm going to start smelling sauerkraut on your breath. I'm telling you, Brother Cheech said there was that day that the church, I mean, their expectations was high. They had watched multitudes fed by little fish and little bread by a little boy. That church's expectations was high. And I mean, down through the ages of time and the annals of time, the only thing that's changed about the church is the congregation. We're the same buildings. This is the same establishment. The very same church that he gave his life for is the church that's a-setting right here tonight on this spot, right here in these mountains. But nowadays, said Brother Cheek, see, I can preach his message, him take all the credit for all the things that makes you irritated. But he said nowadays, it don't take much to make us feel like we've really had a service. Woo! Oh, that's it. Blessing Jesus. That ain't it. That ain't it. He had a defibrillator. It just went off. God wasn't a thousand. Woo! That ain't the Lord. That's a battery. It's a working inside that guy. I'm telling you, we have so lowered our expectations that if the power went off and somebody said we couldn't have hamburgers tonight, 50 people would have drove right on by and never come in the house. Woo! Don't jump up now. You'll ruin a perfectly dead message. But brother, I'm telling you, my expectations tonight are just as high as they were at Dunkirk. My expectations are just as high as they were on the day of Pentecost. There is a God in heaven, and I am part of the army. Now listen, listen. Come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant which shall never be forgotten. I don't think that Brother Don Ingram used real good wisdom in the first church that he pastored. I don't think he did. I loved it, but I don't think it went well when the recount come around. But Brother Tabor was pastoring the church in this United States of America, and he was having a bit of church trouble. You don't know what it is. You've never heard of it. It's something foreign to the churches of Virginia, and you should keep it that way. Because I'm telling you, real church trouble does two things. It makes folks mean, and it quenches the power of God that's trying to move inside the church. Well, this particular church had got mean, and Brother Don took it personal. And so he had about 42 people in his church. That's how many pacifiers that he bought. 42 pacifiers. He brought them to the house of God. Out in the vestibule, he took them little stick pins and put 42 pacifiers on the bulletin board of the church. And when he stood to dismiss that night, he said, every family, stop by and get your pacifier on the way out. Does that make you feel like fighting? Does that make you get your fighting face on to think that a preacher would actually get up there and say something like that? Well, then don't make us do that. Put your fighting face on when you think about what hell is doing to your children. Put your fighting face on when you think about a service that needs somebody to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to join forces with every dissent in the church. And we're going to get so powerful that we run the ballot box. Congratulations. The Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees have been doing that for years. You are among good company. But every once in a while, there's a Nicodemus that says, I'm going to change sides. I'm going to get in a different army. I'm going to get a different spirit. I'm going to get something else a hold of me. How long's it been since you felt like fighting to have a move of God? Now I'm telling you, brother, this is Memorial Day. I know it. I know it. And the very fact that we buried Vernon McClellan makes me want to have a move of God in the service tonight. This is Memorial Day. I know it. And the very fact that Brother Joe Bean back home was healed of prostate cancer makes me want to have a memorial service right here tonight. This is Memorial Day. I know it. It makes me want to holler hallelujah for every Holy Ghost-filled believer that's sitting in this service tonight. I'm not going to get my eyes on the lame and those that have no desire. I'm looking for the army that's a fighting because we have joined ourselves to the Lord. Now, we've lowered our expectations. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Well, at least they come on Sunday morning. Please, please, find me something that I can throw up in that's easy to clean up. Well, I mean, they don't come and pray, but at least they come in the house. I know it, and I'm not discounting that. And I know the faith of mamas and daddies. I ain't discounting that. But I tell you what I am discounting. How easily we allow the enemy to encroach around us. When the truth of the matter is, we ought to be storming the gates of hell. I'm telling you, we ought to be storming hell tonight. I am feeling a fighting spirit getting a hold of me. I'm telling you, give me the ribs that are medium rare. I will cook them before they go down my crawl. I'm feeling a fighting spirit coming on. I recognize that this generation of the church is not necessarily a generation that likes to brag about her exploits. But I'm telling you what we are. We are remnants of a group of people who stood in Roman arenas and watched their wives and their children pulled and torn by animals out there in an arena. We are part of the remnant that watched people hide into the underground catacombs of Rome that they could have a service without losing their head. I'm telling you, I got a heritage. I got a heritage to guard. I'm as guarding about that as I am as if I heard that we had been invaded in Florida and they had us surrounded on three sides. I tell you what, I am part of something that's worth fighting for. Okay, okay. I know what some of the new songs sound like. Where's that trash can? Throw up again. I know what some of them sound like. I do. I do. I hear them every once in a while when I'm looking for Bill O'Reilly or one of them other spiritual men on the radio. I quit looking for preachers on the radio. They're going to get me killed. They're going to get me tickets. They're going to get me in jail. Because I'll be doing 80 wishing I could choke him between stoplights. I don't even look for him anymore. When I hear one of these guys come across the airwaves and tell me that the Lord has showed him seven steps toward prosperity, I tell you what I want to do. I want to just show him the seven steps toward the basement, because that's where he's going to end up and everybody else that follows him. On the other hand, here I am in a little old church out in Virginia on a Monday night. It's in the middle of a fellowship meeting with some folks in here. It's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My God, woo! We have the potential right here to blow the roof right off of this place. Oh my, oh my, don't jump up right now. Somebody either think you're mad or spiritual. And we don't want either one of that to happen. I'm telling you, brother, sister, we have the potential right here inside of this place. This old ship backed up against the waves. I'm telling you, we've got evacuation coming. And all we got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. All we got to do is be proud. Well, now listen. Listen. I'm telling you something right here, right now. I read where another little pastor took a little country church. It was dead as a hammer. Probably not quite as bad as last Wednesday night when I was preaching. One of my other preachers that wasn't there called, and he said, "Well, did you preach them high or have a shout down?" I said, "Neither. Neither." He said, "Well, we all have days like that." Well, I want to tell you something. I'm having too many days like that. I'm having too many days like that. I'm having too many camp meetings that I pull myself in, pull myself up, pull myself out, and pull myself back to the motel and almost need room service to help pull me up the next morning. I'm having too many days like that. I'm in too many song services that Rescue the Perishing has turned into let's all go down to the pond. I mean, I have too many services like that. Oh, you're looking now. I mean, too many meetings where I have heard high-winded, top-level preachers preaching some wonderful texts. I got a whole library full of great texts. And I'll let you in there. And for that $400 offering, I'll let you read one chapter out of each book a day until you get fed up with it. Won't you pick up a couple of books by Lewis Albert Banks, where some of his sermons revolved around the fact that he preached against the Sunday paper, how the Sunday paper was the greatest blight that's ever hit the church, causing people to be entertained on Sunday instead of reading their Bible. And have, my God, that guy was an old timer, and they had revival. And nowadays, all it takes is a ball game at the Civic Center. Are you listening to me? I don't want to die like that. I am part of a church that came out of the Dark Ages. I am part of an army that came out from under Roman Catholicism, unchained the Bible off of the pulpit, and allowed people to have one to take home and hide the word in the heart that it might not sin against God. I am part of a church that was not affected by communism, not affected by the world. And brother, sister, I am going to fight for that. I am part of a church that has been visited by Holy Ghost revival until I have watched men and women do the impossible in a church service and come out unscathed because the anointing of the Lord was upon them. Nowadays, we have to be traffic cops. We look to the pearl pit. Is this right? Should we continue? Can we do this? What should we do next? I'm telling you, we look to the pulpit to give us our menu so we know what to do next. That night that Sister Norris jumped up, ran down that aisle, fell on that open furnace grate in the back of our home church, and it laid there speaking in other tongues. The only thing I could remember was the last time I stood on that furnace grate, it melted the bottom of my shoes and made both of them look like a tic-tac-toe board. That's all I can remember. So I was standing there waiting for her to come up with a face that looked like a tic-tac-toe board. She already had a few wrinkles. I figured that this is fixing to be the best show in town. And when she come up off that floor, still shouting in tongues. She didn't have a tic-tac-toe board. She had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She went running up and down the aisle. I'm part of a church like that. You hear me? That's my bunch. That's my bunch. That's my bunch. That's my bunch. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't even believe it. Congratulations. Me and you are fixing a part company at this very moment. Thank you for your dimes and dollars. But at this particular moment, I'm more interested in lead than I am coins. I'm more interested in throwing something back at the enemy than I am you throwing praises up on my preaching. You hear me? I want to be in a church that has such a move of God that the children say, I ain't never seen nothing like this before, and I want to join. I have taught the young preachers in my church one thing, and that is when you get behind the pulpit, you kill yourself if you have to, but you do not let a congregation pull the anointing out of you. You kill yourself first. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, some of you are witnessing the suicide of height tonight. But I am not going to allow the anointing to be pulled out of me by a church age that says we don't need to act like that anymore. Yes, we do. We don't need to shout it. Yes, we do. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I need that trash can. How's he doing? I need this trash can. Stuff's in it. Oh, hang on just a minute. Spearmint. Spearmint. It's this green thing. It's a staring here looking at me. But at this particular moment, I have to determine whether I want it to look at me or you to look at me. And I choose the spearmint. I am not going into a church and putting a helmet and a breastplate, getting my hair messed up. I'm not going to get my hair messed up. I'm not going to come in that church house and get out in an aisle. You don't know what I... Take a deep breath, son. Take a deep breath and breathe. Hyperventilating on the front row. I am not going to come into a church and put on a breastplate. I'm not going to shout and run and act like that. And that's perfectly all right. But you're going to lose the war. You hear me? You're going to lose your children. You're going to lose your life. You're going to lose your church. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Some of that shouting is shallow. I know it is. I know it is. I mean, some folks that's got the Holy Ghost, you didn't get a thimbleful when you got him. Because a lot of you have the Holy Ghost and have a lot of other unsanctifying things that really conflicts so bad that you're not sure that you're still baptized or not. You're living on what you got 20 years ago. You're living on what you got 30 years ago. If it's been over a month since something grabbed a hold of you, jerked you out of that seat, and made you feel like running to this altar, you ought to do it right now. If it's been over a month since the glory of God has touched you, you ought to jump up and say, I need to get reloaded. Now you think because I lost my glasses that I cannot see my notes. Congratulations. I don't need them. I probably should have been using them since I started this. You're a good man. Amen. Give the boy his offering back tonight. Put it again tomorrow night. Listen. Are you getting this? Was Brother Cheek right? Have we so lowered our expectations? Boy, I had a good service. What happened? Three of the young folks testified. Please. I've messed up my helmet. Messed up my hair. Here's somebody's hand. There is a hand laying right here. We are dissecting people, even as we speak. And that trash can over there is too far right now for me to puke in. Please, let me tell you, three young people testifying is not a move of God. Not when we've got folks sitting in our churches that are addicted to over-the-counter medication. Three testimonies isn't a move of God. Not when we get preachers that are on the edge of having fornication in their heart and in their life. Are you listening to me? That ain't a move of God. I'll tell you what a move of God is. It's the church shooting back at hell until the resurrection and the rapture, when we are rescued out of this world. Let me tell you what a move of God is. Let me tell you what a real move of God is. A real move of God is the person right now sitting in this building that feels like if they don't jump up, holler glory to God, and just let the devil know whose side that they're really on, they'll explode. That is a move of God. That's a move of God. Let me tell you what a real move of God is. When a husband jumps up and says, I need to make some changes around my house. I've been a shooting in the wrong direction. That is a move of God. And you are getting quiet now. And the reason is, as long as I'm the general, you are happy. But I'm telling you, I'm going to make every one of you sergeants. Every one of you sergeants in here. And every one of you responsible for somebody else. I tell you what I'd do. I would lead by example. Was you there Monday night at Randy Webb's meeting? It was on Monday night. Was you there? Guys praying over there in the altar. Night speaker got the chewing gum in a plastic bag wrapped up in his hair. Was you there? Yeah, I was. Boy, I was. What happened? They ran out of Doritos. Before I even could get in the line, they run out of Doritos. Well, my Tostito friend, I must dismiss you to Taco Bell or someplaces other, because around here, Jesus has given us this church to sanctify us and turn us into a fighting force, that we can lay hands on the sick and they can recover, that we can pray in Virginia and my wife could be healed in Missouri. He's given us a power that our young people don't have to join track and be part of a school team. They can be sanctified. Hallelujah. Some of you all should be very glad that I battle asthma. Because if I was really feeling good, I'm liable to put another trash can on my head and tell Brother Randy, go find your own. You hear me? Right here tonight in this house. I did not come out here to be in a remodeled room at the Super 8. I did not. I stepped into a restaurant yesterday. Yes. Walked up to the counter. This young lady was standing there looking at me. She was ignoring me. I hate to be ignored. I do. I mean, whether I'm preaching or trying to tell my wife something about deer hunting, I just hate to be ignored. So when she did look at me, she said, "How many?" And I said, 59. She said, "How many?" I said, 59. She said, "You got a bus?" I said, "No, just me, but I'm 59. And I'd like to sit down and have breakfast. Don't sit there and look at me like that. I'm telling you, I wanted to turn her eyelashes into lampshades. I mean, I wanted to roll up the blind. I wanted to get her ever-loving attention. And that's what I'm doing right here, right now. Well, I'm telling you, if that's how it's going to be every night, I'm not coming back. Well, I can't tell you it's going to be like this every night, but I'm going to be like this every night. I can't tell you it's going to be this every night, but I'm going to be this every night. And I'm going to be this in the morning. And I'm going to be this until I hear rescue coming, saying you've been holding the fort, and I'm a-coming. I'm going to hold on to this until I hear heaven tell me, well done, thy good and faithful soldier." Here, man, let me give you a hand. Listen. I'm telling you something, right here, right now, in this house, if this had been some kind of charismatic meeting, 27 people would have given $5,000 just to felt a goosebump run up and down their spine. Woo! I mean, they'd give $5,000. And I'm telling you right here in this room, some folks are looking, some folks are staring. Some folks are, I mean, there's some folks, they are not even connected to anything that's going on in here. And I'm going to have to be honest with you. There was probably folks at Dunkirk that wasn't looking too good either at that very moment. But let me tell you what Churchill said. Churchill said, looking back down across history and looking at all the things that we have done, it is my estimation that saving of 350,000 troops at Dunkirk was our finest hour. Did you get that? And I'm telling you on this Monday night, you are looking at the church that's in the middle of her finest hour. Everybody ain't part of it, but I am. Everybody ain't going, but I am. Everybody don't have the Holy Ghost, but I do. And I am glad that I can say, I'm one of them. I'm not suggesting that those that are in canes, crutches, and wheelchairs throw their implements away and head out into an aisle. I'm not suggesting that. They evacuated the wounded on the cots where they laid. But the people that did the evacuation were the healthy. They were the strong. They were the ones that walked up and said, "I can kill a German on Monday, and I can pick up a fallen comrade on Tuesday, and I can take him." Are you getting this? I'm telling you, this may not be the finest fellowship meeting that you've ever been in, but I think my wife would be so proud to be in here right now and to see me sweating profusely, because she would know that one more time, I am so positively addicted to this army that really and truthfully, This ain't an obligation to get up here. It's a joy to add my name to the list of the martyrs. It's a joy to add my name to the list of those down through the annals of time that fell and shed their blood for the very... You hear me? I mean, if you'd walk outside this church and look at the front porch, you'd see bloody footprints of the ages where men and women died for this. And I'm not going to die in the middle of it. I am not. Well, the way you are suggesting, Brother Height, the way you are suggesting that maybe that some of us are not doing our best.
You need the Greek word on that?
Do you need the Greek word on that? I am suggesting right now, if some grandma will come out of there with her hands up, anointed by the power and the grace of God, your granddaughter might follow you down that aisle. That's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting if some pastor in this room right now jumped up and said, "My God, I want to lead my church into revival," some of your church might jump up and follow you right down the aisle. I want to suggest that somebody that may be a tad discouraged might jump up and say, "My God, I feel courage renewed." And somebody sitting beside you might say, "If they can, I can." And we bust into the greatest move that you've ever seen. But you can't just stay there on the beach, because the Germans are going to get you. So what are you going to do, Brother Hyde? I am going to shut this down. And I am going to go ahead with what happens the rest of this evening. That's what I'm going to do. But I tell you what somebody in this room very well can do. Well, I don't want to get out of order. You're already out of order. I mean, we're already out of order. If the praise and the worship... We already have a little bit of order trouble. Let me tell you what I would do. If I was in this room right now and I cared a iota about the spirituality of my family, I, sir, would stand up and say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And I'd come down here and I'd load that gun. That's what I'd do. That's what I would do. I'm making an altar call. That's what I would do. If I was a lady sitting in this room right now and my husband had already said, "I ain't going to go to that church," you know what I'd do, sister? I'd get up and say, "By the power and the grace of God, I'm going to go load my gun. It was worth dying for then. It's worth dying for now." I'd get up and come. Are you listening, young folks? I would run my guts out at school. I'd run my guts out for God. I'd get up out of that seat. I'd walk down this aisle. I'd throw my hands in the air. And I'd say, "I'm part of the army of God." When that first boat, Brother Barnett, pulled into the shores of the church among the dunes, when that first boat pulled in there and they lowered that gangplank, and those battle-weary men looked at rescue, I don't think one person had to say, "Would you come? Would you come? Would you like to come?" I don't think they did. I think when that first barge pulled in there and lowered that gangplank, and 20 men stand there with blood running off of their brows where they'd been fighting hell all day, I don't think the captain had to say, Would you like to be moved? Would you?" I don't think they did. I think the minute, I think the minute that they recognized the door was open, was all the invitation that they needed to clear the beaches. I think when they recognized that help was right there, I think that's all it took for them folks to jump up and say, "I'm ready to get in this thing. Hallelujah to God. And I'm telling you right here, right now, the door just dropped. Boom. The door just dropped. The door just dropped. And the captain is standing there looking at us saying this. He ain't saying nothing. He ain't saying nothing. He's already made the invitation. The door's already there. Now, Father, for a few minutes I have taken my liberties behind this pulpit on this Memorial Day to speak to these folks concerning Jeremiah and what he had the children of Israel do in the face of odds on three sides. Oh, glory to God. And I'm standing here tonight in this room, in this service, recognizing right here and right now that they do not need another sermon from me. We don't need it. We need that expectation level to be so raised inside this room that we're not satisfied until somebody recognizes they're winning the battle. They're winning this thing. They're winning it. They're winning it. They're getting the victory. They're getting the victory. They're getting the victory. The victory. The victory. Them young folks, they're not having to throw away them CDs every week. They're getting the victory. They throw them away and they've never got any more of them. The victory. Their victory. I mean, we're looking at the victory. We don't have to. The door's open. The door is open. The door is open. Let me tell you what I'd do. If I felt like I needed rescue, I'd get up out of that seat. I'd walk up here to this altar. I'd throw my hands up to God and I'd tell him, I'm so glad that I am a part of this church, knowing that I not only can have the power now, but you are coming to rescue me later. If I was in here, I would. I mean, well, Brother Hyde, if you'll have us all stand, I'm not going to. I'm just going to have you do this. If you feel